Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. A Reuters article this week hailed the success of a Chinese freighter, which halved its delivery time to the EU on its maiden voyage through the Arctic. It's always fun to see articles that shed such a positive light on such a terrifying and negative thing. Quote, a Chinese container ship has completed a pioneering journey through the Arctic to a UK port, state-run news agency Xinhua reported, cutting in half the usual transit time for the electric vehicles and solar panels aboard destined for Europe. The Istanbul Bridge's maiden voyage, originally expected to take 18 days, was delayed by 2 days due to a storm off the coast of Norway, but the ship still reached Europe earlier than the 40 to 50 days it takes freighters going through the Suez Canal or around the Cape of Good Hope. The new Northern Sea Route, running entirely through Arctic waters and within Russia's exclusive economic zone, can now be navigated by ships due to global warming. Now, this is not to say that this is the first ship, or the first cargo ship even, that has made it through supposedly new, what they'll call a new sea route. It was only the first time for this specific ship. That said, this is a growing trend. This ship was carrying around 4,000 containers. And while the article lauds the economic success that this surely will provide for the cost of shipping to both China and, in this case, the UK, it talks little about the impact that this has on the Arctic. It did, however, make sure to mention that this is partly due to China's increase in partnership with the EU for trade due to the tariffs with the United States. It says China is exploring speedier maritime links with the European Union, the world's third largest economy, while in the middle of a costly trade war with the US, the world's biggest consumer market. The push reflects Beijing's need to diversify its export markets to sustain growth in an economy heavily dependent on selling its manufactured goods overseas. Exports to Europe rose an annual 14% in September, Chinese customs data shows, while shipments to the U.S. fell 27% over the same period. Over the past 4 decades, the Arctic has warmed about 4 times faster than the global average, resulting in a dramatic reduction in sea ice and creating seasonal windows for commercial shipping. Now, there are a couple of factors to consider here. One is that the article mentions that this cut shipping times down from the normal 40 to 50 days to just 18 days. And you could argue that that may be a net positive to carbon emissions because that ship spends that much less time on the sea. A shorter route also means less carbon emitted because it's moving the ship that much less distance. By itself, that is good news. That said, it is also just troubling the fact that these ships can now make this voyage. It's a harrowing sign for the future of sea ice in the Arctic. But it also spells trouble for the Arctic ecosystem. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Before we talk about that impact, I wanted to highlight a couple other articles here, one of which mentions that the Northern Sea has been charted as an alternative trade lane. This is from an S&P Global article, which also talks about this same maiden voyage. This was apparently the first time that a container ship has reached Europe from China directly. And it talks primarily about how these ships need to be ice strengthened. There's only a number of ships that can make it through the Arctic that can push its way through any floating ice. But it talks about how since 2024, 18 container ships compared with 74 tankers have crossed the Bering Sea in the north of Russia to or from mainland China. And it notes that the departure of the container ships via the Northern Sea Route has raised environmental concerns for non-governmental organization Clean Arctic Alliance, which has long been advocating the ban of heavy sulfur fuel in Arctic waters. With the fuel used not disclosed, the Alliance wondered whether it is aligned with the spirit of IMO's, the International Maritime Organization's, Arctic heavy fuel oil prohibition, which commenced in July 2024, but doesn't take full effect until 2029. There's a chart here in this that shows the increase in the number of tankers and container ships between the fall of 2024 and the fall of 2025. I found it interesting that the title of the chart, it says share of container ships using Northern Sea Route increases slightly in 2025. I'm not sure why it uses the term slightly when the chart itself shows that it shows it in million gross tons that is moved through the Northern Sea Route. In September of 2024, it peaked at 700 million gross tons. And in September of 2025, it peaked at 1,100 million gross tons. So we're talking about a difference of almost 50% year over year. And yet another article talks about how there's been a 37% increase in total ships in the Arctic over 10 years. This is in all types of ships, including fishing boats, tankers, and cargo ships, with the vast majority of ships over the last 10 years having just been normal fishing vessels. But that ratio is slowly starting to change as more and more tankers and cargo ships move through the area. Now, moving back to one item that that article started to mention, which was regarding the use of heavy fuel oil. There is a prohibition that it said is coming in 2029, so we've still got 4 years until that takes effect, and we'll see if that holds over that time. Personally, I doubt that this sort of thing will stay in place for long. There's going to be huge monetary incentive to lift that and allow ships to move through the Northern Sea. You know, who controls those waters, who will enforce those types of rules is a major question and concern, especially as we see the power dynamics begin to shift. There's in part a very good reason that the U.S., I shouldn't say a good reason, but a logical reason for why the U.S. is threatening Greenland. Not saying that that is the only reason, but an opening up of Arctic waters provides a huge economic incentive for global superpowers to control waters in the area. It's estimated that up to 5% of global shipping traffic will be diverted through the Arctic route by just 2030. So in the next 4 years, of all the shipping being done across the world, up to 5% of shipping will be rerouted to go through the Arctic. Okay, so going on to some of the negative aspects here, you know, we had talked about how, yes, this could cut shipping time overall, which reduces the amount of carbon being emitted during those trips. But to the Arctic itself, there's various issues that will create upward pressure on feedback loops, as well as on the local marine ecosystems. So black carbon emissions are a major concern when it comes to cargo ships and tankers. Black carbon is a consequence of heavy fuel burning. The impact and the research on this varies, but they believe that it has a 100-year global warming potential, which is 900 times that of CO2. So we talk about how methane, for example, is like 80 times more potent over 20 years than CO2. Well, black carbon is 900 times more potent over 100 years. And because the emissions of carbon dioxide are localized, this will potentially accelerate the amount of warming in the region, a region which is already warming at 4 times the rate as the rest of the world. Not only does this heavy fuel oil and the black carbon emissions cause greater carbon dioxide and greater warming, but it also is a heavy pollutant and poses environmental risks. We talk about how there's an increase in cargo ships, but there's also been a heavy increase in the use of tankers in the area. Oil spills in cold environments can take a lot longer to break down. Obviously, very dark black oil would also cause an increase in the amount of solar radiation because of the lack of albedo. And that, of course, has long-term contamination risks to the marine ecosystem. There are issues such as noise pollution. These are areas of the world that have, up to this point, been relatively untouched by these loud ships, which can affect communication and navigation for marine mammals. Not only that, but reports mention that shipping industry could have significant socioeconomic impacts on coastal communities, including food shortages and culture disruption. Essentially, we're talking about taking one of the most fragile ecosystems in the world, which is already facing severe decline, and then for the sake of industrialization, for the sake of efficiency, increasing our impact exponentially on the area so that the UK can get its solar panels a few weeks earlier. Now look, there's a complex convergence of things here. Again, some of which are negative, some of which are positive. And it will be fascinating to watch and see the research come out about whether or not this creates a net positive or a net negative in regards to the amount of carbon emitted and to other impacts. It will be interesting to see the geopolitical navigation to see if the regulations put in place to try and protect the area will hold, or if capitalist corporate interests will win out. And the one thing that we can say is that the potential for shipping in the area is going to increase. Due to global warming, September sea ice extent declined 43% from 1971 to 2019. and sea ice thickness has decreased by 2 meters towards the end of the melt season when compared to the submarine period from 1958 to 1976. We are undoubtedly on track to lose sea ice and have entire ice-free summers within just the next years to decade, unless major changes are made, whether voluntarily or involuntarily, to the amount of shipping, production, and consumption that is happening across the world. I see no future in which corporations and governments don't take full advantage of the havoc that we've wreaked on the Arctic and exacerbate the problem that much more. All right, I know today's episode was a bit shorter. We'll touch back on this topic in the future as more research is done. As always, thanks for listening. Feel free to reach out with any comments. Join us on Patreon, and we'll see you again soon. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.